Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here at the Chuck and Julie Show. Truth Straight Up, brought to you by BBS Radio and Press.
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. It's a conservative voice, a conservative website. It's one of the ones that I check every day. And in fact, today, their main headline is that the Democrat legislature up at the at Colorado Capitol is trying to ram through all kinds of bad things while they toy around with canceling the session because of the coronavirus. We're going to have State Minority Leader Patrick Neville coming on. We thought we were going to have him at 3, but I think he's a little busy up there today.
I bet.
3:30, we're going to talk with Casper Stockham, CD6 candidate. But obviously, big news today, the coronavirus.
The coronavirus. The president gave a speech, 1 o'clock Eastern time, which announced a national emergency. You may wonder, well, what does that mean, national emergency? Of course, it means the only thing government ever does, money. You now under the
Not for us.
No, oh, God, no. But if you play it right, you can. It under the Stafford Act, you fill up, free up, I don't know how many billions of dollars.
A lot.
And what you do with it, states apply for emergency workers and programs and everything else, and the federal government will pay 75% of that if approved. This is great stuff. Now, if you were not part of government, you don't know how this works, right? Well, it pays for overtime. Right.
Ooh.
And so you've got to figure out, even though you got a set salary, why they have to pay you overtime.
Even though you have nothing to do with health care.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It does not matter. All that, nobody checks, and it's okay because you stayed at work till 8 o'clock, let's say. And you just triple your hourly or double. They allow it. Not time and a half. No. Double. So, for first responders.
There you go.
For all government workers. It is great. They will soak this dry. So if you're not in the government, well, you're just getting soaked. But everybody else, it's great stuff. Go for it.
If you want to call in, tell us what's going on with you, what you think about this whole thing, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you want to join
us. The piggy bank is open, so you just got to figure out how to get
we
there.
We can all come up with a scheme. If you want to join us on Zoom, just go to chuckandjulie.com. Hey, and also, we're really excited to announce that we're live streaming now on our YouTube channel, Chuck and Julie Show on YouTube, and on our Facebook as well, the Chuck at Chuck and Julie on Facebook.
For some of you who may have noticed, if you were listening to Peter Boyle's show.
Oh!
Julie was brought out of quarantine, officially brought out of quarantine.
Back on 710 KNUS this morning.
with an interview. I, of course, am still in quarantine.
Chuck is still in quarantine still in for quarantine. Another few days.
Yeah, weeks, months, years, it's something.
You've received the papal dispensation to reappear after a while.
After not, some indeterminate, clear. No, but I'm still in purgatory.
So I wanted to talk with the coronavirus because it's a couple things. One, I get why schools have to do it. Our son's school. The Academy of Charter Schools in Westminster, a great school. Last night, about 8 o'clock, got the email saying
teachers get the next 3 weeks off,
no.
And they are
the
happy, happy, happy.
The kids.
Administrators get 3 weeks
off. This is serious. Let me finish.
I'm serious.
The kids are off until, well, it's not clear. They said March 27th. Well, they go on spring break here in a couple weeks. So Rev immediately took the day and is up skiing with his sister. And we're told that the slopes are wide open. Peter Boyles is on his way up to the mountains because they called him from Winter Park and said, hey, nobody's here. Come on up. So there's
and
that
here's
going
another,
on. Wait,
no,
let me just finish.
Right,
I was at the grocery store then earlier today because I got a couple questions. And if anybody knows this, call in because I am baffled by
and
it.
That number is 888-627-6008.
So I was at the grocery store just to get food for dinner, right? I don't see what the need is to stock up on anything except, as my daughter pointed out, Chardonnay, which is just always a good idea. I'm sorry. Anyway, but she, I was there, and so there was no toilet paper, right? And the other thing that people were buying and they were limiting was bottled water. Now, why are people buying bottled water? Because we have water. Right. So if we have water out of your tap, I don't know why you need that. And then I looked and I said, what's the deal with toilet paper? Did a little bit of toilet paper research. Come to find out, Chuck, that like 90% of the toilet paper sold in the United States is made in the United States. There's no shortage. There's no supply chain thing. And apparently, historically, when people get into these sort of panic buying modes, everybody stocks up on toilet paper. I guess it's cheap. You know you're going to use it eventually. And, so you might as well. It makes you feel like you're doing something. But to me, it just seemed ridiculous. I will say this, though. everybody at the grocery store was really nice. There was a lady in front of me, and she had bought like 8 million scones, and I was, and that was it. And then I was kind of like, I said, a run on the scones? And she said no. And she said they had a school play tonight that they were trying to get done, and this was the intermission. So, you know, I don't know. This is my thought on it is it makes sense to wash your hands, use hand sanitizers, you know, cover your mouth. If people are sneezing, scooch away.
Wear a mask.
Yeah, well, all of those things, but I don't understand why you have to stock up on toilet paper.
Make you feel good.
The other thing that
Oh, it's big, it's bulky. You feel like you're all set for.
I would buy shoes or something. Well, maybe not. I mean, well, you never know. We could have a run on shoes. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was silly was, and the state actually knocked this off. So Governor Polis, well-intentioned, decided that they were going to have one state testing office in Lowry, right?
Yeah.
And so you could go there, and it was like a drive-through. Kind of looked like when you get your cracked windshield, fixed. But anyway, you could go there and you could get tested. Well, billions of people, not literally billions, but dozens and dozens of people
hundreds.
Showed up. Yeah, hundreds. The line was like 4 hours long. So here's my question. Why would you go wait in line for 4 hours to be tested for coronavirus with a bunch of other people who also think they have coronavirus? Doesn't that seem to me, here, I'm going to move this here. Doesn't that seem to you to be like the one place you might likely...
Wouldn't you want to be the first in your neighborhood to say, I have coronavirus, and I should be piling out
Well, and here's the thing. They finally realized, okay, this is stupid. Today they said they canceled it because of the weather. So that's how worried
weather.
The state.
Oh,
and
that's the weather.
Because you're going to see the mainstream media is making
misty.
A big deal about, oh, we don't have enough tests. It's like in the state's like, oh, it's too rainy. It's not even rainy. So we have to forget the testing. And then they said, you had to have a doctor's note anyway. So if you have a doctor's note, to go get tested. Why not just ask your doctor?
Well, because he can't test.
And here's the other thing, too. It's like, this is my advice to you. This is my free medical advice, and you don't have to stay in line. If you think you're sick, if you're feeling sick, if you think it's even possible that you might have coronavirus, well, then just stay home. Don't go out in public, get in a line, wait around. Don't go to the grocery store and stock up on water.
And toilet paper.
And toilet paper, right? I mean, it's just... things I think are unreasonable, and I know I won't get into my conspiracy theory, but I think there is a balance as always. Because I want to dazzle you.
I want give you my recommendation.
Okay.
My recommendation is do not travel to Arizona the next 3 or 4 weeks, and do not book any bookings with a golf resort. It's just too dangerous. It's too difficult. The prices are dropping, so. Rev, Julie, and I are planning to
That's
make
right,
escape
Chuck,
away.
Like,
I mean, 40, the kids go free. You get all clubs
Frontier,
go free.
Frontier
oh,
has
man.
some deal. It's like literally like $40 round trip. Kids
oh, it's
fly free.
Yeah, this is going to be great. We have to figure out how to do the show from Arizona.
From Arizona.
It'll be great.
You know,
so none of you people go, no, I don't want any competition for the plane flight or for the resort. We want rock bottom prices.
Hey, and here's, this is a cryptic text. So Patrick Neville says, sorry, he's in the midst of some important stuff. I'm going to text him back and say, okay.
Like what?
Like
we're not important stuff?
Yeah,
Wait a minute.
Keep talking while I can't talk and text.
Right, well, we're important stuff, yeah. Patrick. Talking to our enormous, massive, whatever they are.
Listeners.
Yeah, I guess they're listeners and viewers. That's important stuff. Getting the word out to all you people is very important, isn't it?
No, Chuck. All right. I'm not going to let you talk anymore.
Oh, okay.
What they're doing at the state legislature is they're – and this makes a certain degree of sense, too. There are people, obviously, who are concerned to come testify before bills, right? The governor has said you have to cancel anything that has more than 250 people. Well, I think that would –
Is that was he yeah. prohibited 250?
That's
he wanted New York is 500, now 250. Now, as somebody said, we're getting to Joe Biden sized crowds if you get under 100.
If you get under 100,
Joe can still come
him.
In, give a full thing, fully publicized, but not exceed that 250 limit. That's pretty good.
You know, but I think so. The Democrats are trying to ram through all kinds of stuff, just like Nancy Pelosi trying to tie abortion funding to.
They never miss.
And so I think Patrick is there. They're trying to wrap stuff up because I think they want to suspend it. But as I understand it, then they also have to. Their legal hoops they have to jump through to go ahead. My sense is just stop it.
Hoops.
Yeah, just stop it.
Just stop it.
But let me talk some numbers because I did a little bit of research on
Uh-oh.
This. In Italy, which is one of the hardest hit countries in Europe, okay, they have had 15,000 cases of coronavirus. That's with a population of 60 million people. Like I said, I have a nephew stationed there. He's in the Navy, and he says he doesn't know anyone who knows anyone who has coronavirus, right? So granted, it's bad, and it's too bad if you get it, and certainly the deaths are bad. But That's just keep that in mind. 15,000 cases out of 60 million people. I saw another headline that kind of made me angry. It was like on Drudge. It said, "What happens if police get coronavirus? Will we have to stop patrols?" I'm like, "What?
Hopefully, really.
If you're a burglar, but in New York and San Francisco, they're not.
If you're an average citizen, they're not to get harassed.
They're not doing crimes. They're not, you know, arresting people for crimes anyway. But let me just throw these statistics out. So in the flu season." This year so far, the 2019-2020 flu season, they had, and this is estimates and a big estimate, but as many as 49 million cases of the flu. 49 million cases of the flu. They had up to 52,000 deaths, they think they're right. So now, well, while that was going on, that's
52, that's right.
Somewhere between 20,000
and 52. Yeah, you get 30 to 70 in a year. So,
And so here's the thing. So that's what was going on. No one was stocking up on buying toilet paper then. No one was writing headlines. What if the police get the flu and we just can't do patrols anymore? No, the stock market wasn't going insane. I think that...
This must have been fun if you're a day trader. Up 2,000, down 1,000.
Yeah, back talking about the stock market. It was back up all of a sudden,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a day trader is trying to figure out those things. It'd be pretty exciting, or maybe you'd kill yourself.
But I just think it's one of those times where, and I've talked to some small business people who are worried, and I don't blame them. They're like, people need to quit panicking. People need to quit being hysterical. Common sense. Well, think about it. I mean, it affects us, right? So all of the clients we have in the newspaper are small business owners for the most part, right? Most part, yeah. Something like this happens, then they're affected there. Then, I mean, there are bad ripple effects as that goes. I think we need to be reasonable. I think if you feel like going out to dinner, go out to dinner. If you feel like going skiing, go skiing. If you feel like going to Arizona golfing, go to Arizona. I don't know that I want to get in a plane and go golfing. I mean,
I do. I mean, for 22 bucks, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
$2.
I think that, you know, I know it's popular to blame the mainstream media, but in this case, I do. I mean, don't you think? I think the way, again, that's a ridiculous headline. We didn't write it with the regular flu, so now we're going to write it. Go ahead and say, "Oh, what if police officers
matter,
get
Julie,
it?"
Julie, you know, mass media, and it's just the way it is. On the good side, I think, if you want to look at it, this isn't the great pandemic. This isn't the great 1918 Spanish influenza, but the 1918 influenza or some variation of that is coming back. So for the first time, we get a test drill, which really will not kill very many people. Most of them have, you know,
mild damaged symptoms.
They're not only older, but they also have impaired immune systems and everything else.
They were otherwise ill.
But now we've found out, wait a minute, if we do get a 1918 influenza, we're going to have everything coming from China? I don't think so. So they can get prepared. This is almost like a test drill. A test drill for, I think it is.
Okay, well, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 if you want to share your coronavirus thoughts or your...
Well, I'm going to share my swine flu thoughts.
Well, let me just say...
I go first this time.
I wanted to address your practice comments because here's what I think. Okay. To me... Yes, I understand what you're saying there, that this does indicate, and every so often something like this comes around and reminds us that we are human, right? Mm-hmm. And that there are evil viruses out there, and that no matter how smart we are, no matter how many, you know, video games we can play or how, you know, whatever, how many Teslas we drive, we can still be knocked down pretty hard and pretty fast by a microscopic bug, right? Mm-hmm. And I get that. On the other hand, how do you address it? It's kind of like the 100-year snowstorm, right? Do you have all of those snowplows lined up? How would you do that?
Well, you better have everything in China who can cut it off.
Well, no, that I agree.
And you better have some more, you know, robust ways of testing people. And I think these quarantine things really is going to limit the extent of the coronavirus, probably excessively. But nonetheless, it's important. So I think all of those are important. So if it's overdoing it, and of course government workers want to get double time, so you know they can you know figure out how they fit into this government. The trouble is people in California and New York will figure it out real fast, and all the rest.
Well, and here's what I understand: why the quarantines are important. I have a friend who's in healthcare, and she was saying that, and you can see from the healthcare point of view. So as more and more people get it, right, which they're going to get, while the vast majority of people, I mean, we're seeing things with some people, I mean, it's not even, you know, they have a mild cold. They don't even hardly even realize that they have it, right? And that's not those people they're worried about. But as more people get it, then obviously the more at risk people get it. Yeah. And she was explaining that the hospitals, you know, if you start talking about hundreds of people having to go to a hospital at one time, even though, even though overall it's relatively small.
But it's probably good for settings planning up.
She was simply, then she went on to explain that if they can quarantine it like this and the self-quarantines and that sort of the cutting back of the public events, she says that at least spreads it out. So it's not like all of a sudden over a 3-day period, you have a whole bunch of people and they can handle that.
Okay. Can I
now you can talk about your H1N1.
Okay. So what year was it? Was it 2009?
It was right after we got married.
Okay. So. 2010, 2011. I went in for my umpteenth hip surgery. and when you have a major hip replacement, it is debilitating for a while. You get over it pretty quickly, but not that quickly. So I went in, and this is the middle of the swine fever one. And so I didn't really think about it.
You're a swine racist by saying
that's
that.
That's right. So I go in there, I get the hip surgery done, and that was all fine. And also got the swine flu at the same time, because the hospital was filled with swine flu people. So I got the swine flu after heading back in the car, and the swine flu just sweated and sweated.
Well, we didn't even realize it. You were just getting out of the hospital, so we thought, it was some kind of weird drug reaction.
So we're driving home and so forth, and I realize that now I've got the swine flu, and the drugs are wearing off, the painkillers are wearing off for the hip and everything else. This is the key, folks. Listen to this. Julie is known as Miss Happy News. I mean, she's always happy. She's just always happy. And one of the keys to always being happy is not feel other people's pain too much. So I'm
That's
coming
to
home.
Say I do not get the Florence Nightingale Award for this.
So I'm just dying. So I finally get into a tub and just water to, prevent all the sweating and the fever and the pain and everything else. Julie is ecstatic. She's laughing. She thinks it's funny.
Was that bad?
Yeah, is that bad?
I wasn't particularly sympathetic.
No, not sympathetic. No, she.
Well,
was
I just thought it was the surgery.
She thought you're going to die from the surgery. You're going to die from the swine flu. But she and I finally figured out, Julie just does not let herself be affected by other people's pain.
I'm liable.
So I finally recovered. No thanks to Julie. I had true that. Stayed in the bathtub for about 2 days.
I have since realized that this is true. If ever I get sick, Chuck is going to put me in a chair out on the deck and put one of those chair covers over me and hand me some Spam or something. And he says,
so there's a cost if you're the significant other of an endlessly cheerful person because they don't care about your pain.
Here's the thing, though. You were really sick there, from what we understand. And there was no overall panic. No one was stocking up on toilet paper.
Yeah.
They didn't close schools. They didn't do any of that kind of stuff. And this is a virus that doesn't have near that kind of impact on people. So, I don't know. I just think that as we go through this, I mean, it sounds, cliche, but it is true. We're kind of all in this together. And I think, like I said,
other than the Democrats.
Then I'm going to get to them in a second. They're the ones who are ignoring this. They're the ones who are doing their best to try to
politicize
it.
They can't politicize.
No. And it's, to me, hopefully, we'll see. But I think that will come back to bite them politically, because I think people are worried enough. And I think actually, because I'm, talking with parents at my little boy's school, we're lucky because we have kind of a flexible schedule, right? And we can send reps skiing. but there are a lot of parents. I mean, I think back to when I was working at Fox, when Jenny was younger, when I worked at Channel 7, I was a single mom. If they had said, okay, your kid is out of school for the next 3 weeks, maybe indefinitely with home learning, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, there were
before you came, let's
there.
Get them together with the other kids. Now they're all off.
Go over
to Jump City or something. No, I mean, that's the whole point of not getting together. You can't have those kids getting together. Disease carriers.
I think that the mainstream media is going to bury itself even deeper because as parents and people are inconvenienced. I was talking with a small business owner, right? And he was saying, this is going to kill me. If people, if they don't stop this hysteria, because people are canceling, they're going to wait and come in for an appointment, that kind of, and he's like, I can't survive indefinitely with something like that. And I think there are enough average Americans out there who see the truth about this, who understand that, yes, use hand sanitizer. Okay. I don't know if we had to cancel every sporting event in every school in the universe, but no one asked my opinion on that.
Do you think our betters really care about what the average American thinks? No, they only care what they think to tell the average American. They could care less.
Well, here's how much they care. Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats are holding up coronavirus aid packages, right?
Well, it's all a scam anyway. The package, aid packages, don't actually do any person any good. It just goes to government and government suppliers. And don't the average person will see nothing, nothing. You will notice nothing in your life will change because of a national emergency. You will not garner one penny. But if you were at the government or you are a supplier to the government, you will make a fortune.
And somehow you know Planned Parenthood is going to get their hands on it.
Yes, excellent. Excellent. Planned Parenthood will be going out and double timing and triple timing. And
whatever. All,
every government program is just a way of enriching the government, pretending they're enriching you. You will not.
No.
Anybody who's ever felt one penny from the whatever billions of dollars went out for the stimulus program under Obama.
Oh.
Now, I knew some teachers who did. I knew firefighters. I knew
first responders.
First responders. And at first at the trough people. And they all got rich. They all got rich. And so did consultants who gave them advisory premiums on how to get something shovel ready. Hey, surprise, it never went shovel ready. It never got out there. But the consultants all got it. This is the great way to rip everybody off. And if Trump hadn't done it, everybody would go, why didn't you get the Stafford Act involved?
Right. He would say
But anybody who's just a normal person who got one penny from that stimulus program, call in. We'll buy you dinner at a coronavirus
888-627-6008 is the number if you want to call in and weigh in. Or go on chuckandjulie.com and you can join us via Zoom. You know,
cannot get corona via Zoom.
Yeah, through that. Yeah, exactly, through that. Through
there's nothing we know.
Yeah, exactly. It's transmitted by air, but not by airwaves like that. Wait, we're getting text here. Oh, Casper is texting us.
Casper.
Oh, okay. Keep talking again. I have to.
Okay. I need to keep on talking. So I'm going to talk about another one. I'm very upset. The Masters? They suspended the Masters? Oh, please. Oh, please. I mean, okay, sporting events, Major League Soccer, anything. But the Masters? They could have no audience there. We don't need a stupid audience. The fans, I mean, they're great and they love it. But why can't we have the Masters? Give us the Masters back, baseball. Baseball will be going on for a long time. NCAA basketball, I'm not sure why that all had to go. That was kind of fun, too. So I think the only thing we got left is bowling. And maybe in bowling they'll get rid of it. I mean, we got to have something to watch this weekend.
Well, that's what one of our friends was saying. It's like not only – and if Casper – I think that was Casper Stockham. He's going to be – I gave him the wrong number. He's going to be coming in to join us. He was saying there's nothing even to do, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how the schools – they have to hit a certain number of days. So they're like, okay, so we're going to call it home learning. So I don't know. And, you know, for the folks at BBS, I think Patrick Neville, I think, is probably busy right now. That happens to us before when we were at CanUS.
Sure.
He's busy doing stuff. So we'll get him maybe later today, maybe next time. One other thing, too, though, I wanted to talk about this whole coronavirus. And that is, I guess, a little bit back to the mainstream media. I really believe, and I was talking to somebody who was not a Trump supporter earlier today, and this person said, you know what?
Why are you talking to a non-Trump supporter?
they're out there. There's some of them out. Some of my best friends are non-Trump supporters. Sure. And even this person said, I think the mainstream media is hyping this up. He said for their own clicks. He said they hate Trump. They want the clicks, so they hype this up. And they do all these stories about how we're all going to die. And again, it becomes kind of tricky because, okay, you can't really trust the mainstream media. So where do you get information, right?
Right here.
Right here. Well, exactly. That's why we say truth straight up. We'll tell you. And, you know, and sometimes people will say, oh, you're being mean and you're not taking it seriously enough. And you're right. Initially, I think I was trying to say, no, ignore it. I think Trump did have to address it the way
great.
That he did.
I think he's done great. I think he's kind of filled in and did everything he's supposed to, and you know, pretend, you know, send money out to the, you know, more government stuff. It's good for you. It's, you know, you'll do great. You'll do great. But talk about somebody who's great.
Hey, we've got Casper Stockham. Hey, Casper, we see you. Can you hear us and see us? Is he still connecting?
All right.
Hey, Casper, if you hear us, just zip on up. It looks like he's connecting still. And we'll get him. He's running in CD6. This does change. Like you said, it's kind of interesting. Trump canceled his rallies. I think, but when all is said and done, that I don't know what kind of impact this will have on the election. It hasn't seemed to impact his approval rating, or maybe it's too early to tell for that. And I think if you look at this, it's like, would you want Joe Biden in charge of a country in
sure.
a time like this?
Sure. Well, he wouldn't even know.
Yeah, but
he wouldn't be hyping it. He'd go, I like Corona, but why do you?
Yeah, Corona. Yeah, he said we should have Budweiser, American-made beer. Hey, now we have Casper. Are you there with us?
I am.
All right.
Casper Stockham, one of the GOP primary candidates in CD6. You know, let me ask you your thoughts on this whole. I was at the grocery store. I was saying earlier today, I don't understand why everybody's buying all the toilet paper. But your thoughts first off on this, and then we'll talk about the actual race.
Yeah, I went to Walmart last night, and all the medicine—well, not all the medicine, but the medicine aisles are very slim as well. I mean, people are buying up all the antibiotics and any kind of medicine that could potentially go up against a virus. Now, if there was an antibiotic that would work to to reverse the coronavirus,
I think they would have mentioned it by now.
They're buying up everything.
Right.
Exactly. You
know, I don't get that. And what's your sense? I mean, to me, I think, you know, you got guys like Jason Crow, your Democrat, you know, opponent, who are hyping this and making it seem.
Also helping Nancy put in, you know, abortion money, anything you can get, because they don't miss that $8 million. I promise you, it's earmarked for everybody, along with the national emergency money. The Democrats do not kind of go, oh, yeah, let's just get it out the way. They know where every penny's going. They, you know, the Republicans go, oh, this is good. This is good for America. And the Democrat goes, good if it gets to us. That's when it's good.
Yeah, that's a problem. I typed a couple weeks ago on social media, I put a post out that said, you know, they have a new enemy, and it's the coronavirus. So both sides now are taking advantage of that enemy and just filling up the coffers with, attacks against the enemies. So, you know, as you mentioned, Chuck, they're putting in all kinds of things that have nothing to do with fighting the virus. They're putting that into this spending bill. Yeah.
Well, talk about the race. Has this had any kind of impact on the race, or
they're limiting crowds. Polls are limiting crowds to 250. So your usual 10,000 is going to be.
I know. I had a reporter call me just the other day and asked me, was I going to change any of my campaign plans around the virus or not? Absolutely not. You know, I'm not going to change anything. In fact, I'm going to church on Sunday. You know, we have a decent sized church, 300 plus people, and we're going to be gathering and praying and singing and all that stuff. So no, I'm not changing any of my plans at all.
How's the race going?
Yeah, so I think it's going pretty good. I have a pretty good following in the community, grassroots based following. So even though the fundraising is light, the support is heavy. And at assembly, I believe I'm going to get easily 40, maybe even 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
In assembly.
We've been at the caucuses. Yeah. I mean, the caucuses that we've been at, you've been winning the straw polls.
Easily. So, 26
yeah, not even the caucuses, but the meetings. Yeah.
In the informal ones.
What about
the one we went to, Gary Kirkland, who was there on behalf of Steve House, got up and started haranguing you that you'd spent some money here, some money there. For the very little money you've been able to wonderfully garner, which is great. He lost everybody. If they thought, if people got up saying, how can I give to Casper? I'm not putting up this garbage.
Yeah. It was a good fundraising day for me after they attacked me like that. So.
Well, you know, what is it? You look at, you know, like Michael Bloomberg, right, who had all the money in the world, didn't make any difference at all. You look at a Bernie Sanders who has, you know, is basically raising money, obviously in a bigger scale, but sort of the way you are with individual donors. It's not, you know, the giant donors. And in Bernie's case, I think the establishment elite are trying to tank him. Tanking him.
It is amazing. I mean, Joe Biden is a terrible candidate. Nobody questions that. Two, he had no money because no one was willing to contribute to him. He had no ground game. He had nothing. And now he just swept away to victory. I mean, it's just gone. I mean, you know, Bloomberg's $500 million is gone. Sanders, maybe $250 million is gone. And now he's just tripping the light fandango. And you know, it would be great. He's going to wake up going, what happened? I mean, where am I? This is great. I'm president. Great.
Who am I? What am I doing here?
Exactly.
But he's got Bloomberg's money now because Bloomberg.
Yeah.
He's going to be throwing his money behind Biden.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead.
I'm excited about this race. You know, I think that at the end of the day, we have to figure out a way, though, how to bring these two factions in the Republican Party, if you will, together. The grassroots type folks, you know, like yourself and me and the Tea Party, and then bring that to the establishment in some kind of way. We have to be able to at the end of the day, come together, because if we don't come together in CD6 or some of these other races, we're not going to win. You know, it's already going to be an uphill battle, but it's not going to happen if we don't come together. So that's
there's only one
concern.
Way to come together. That's it, you know, they've proven it time and time again.
It's direct mailers. No,
they come together if they get their candidate. Because then they can kind of go, we need to unify. If you win, you think they're going to give you money? No, they're not.
They don't. If they don't, it's going to look awfully bad. You know, yes. I mean, it's going to be the end of the party.
Well, they don't care. They're happy to become Democrats. You really think Phil cares? You think Phil cares whether the Republican Party exists or not?
Well,
he doesn't.
Fortunately, they still let us vote, right?
And so, they're going to eliminate voting.
Well, that's the next thing they're going to do.
You can do it by your cell phone.
What's the news? So I'm hearing at the Colorado Capitol. So we had the initial precinct caucuses last weekend.
Which we went to.
And as a result, they're now all delegates. Yeah. But what's happening? I know they're talking about changing the rules and postponing the county caucuses and maybe the state assembly. What are you hearing on that? And how does that affect you as a candidate?
Well, they're still trying to figure that out. So we're in limbo right now. We don't know if we're going to have an assembly. So it's affecting me in only in the sense that because we don't know, I can't plan things around that event if we don't know if that event's going to happen. So I've got some really cool things that I get people coming in from out of town and things like that, but we can't do any of that if we don't know.
What do you think about the proposal by the state thing? They determine based on, you know, how they feel.
Who's bought and paid for the most.
Nothing changes then. That's how they do it now.
Nothing ever changed. That's the key.
That's how they do it now and stuff. So they just anoint someone.
Well, without all the fault of all and all that.
It seems to me, though, back to what you were saying before, they got to decide pretty quickly here.
No, they don't.
They do. I mean, people need to know if you're going to have a caucus and what are the rules going to be, that kind of thing.
No, you don't need to know that.
Right now, we literally don't know. You know, I got an email from the CD6 district folks, and they said literally they're in touch with the state. You know, the problem is a lot of these things happen at schools.
Yes.
So the schools. Good point. Really good point.
And schools are closed.
Well, we got an email, and it was directed to CD6. If you wanted to go to the national convention, you had to sign up now. They just wanted to see how many really wanted to go. And if there was, you know, not that many, because it costs you about $5,000 or $6,000 to go. Maybe less now with a plane fare, but
we should all pay plane fares.
And I hope they do the same for CD7 because I'd like to go for that one. You can see them manipulate. We never got you out.
That's really cynical. That's really cynical.
Casper. I think I'm being too cynical.
Chuck, these are some really good hearty people. They would never stoop to the level of
Casper, I could even think that.
I'm gonna throw you a softball question though, but I think it is an important one, particularly for maybe folks who haven't, we have a little bit of a broader audience than we did when we were just at 710 KNUS. What is it about you? We support you. I like Steve House, but I would vote for you.
I like Steve House too, but Casper's the real is grassroots.
What's the difference between you and a Steve House candidate?
Well, the difference is, and you guys just literally just said it. So I'm the grassroots guy. I'm in the community. You know, I'm not a politician by career. Even though I've ran several times, I have not held office. I just want to get stuff done. You know, like Trump, you know, when he went into office, first time ever running for office and he wins the presidency, and he's been getting stuff done, even in the swamp, even in that environment, he's been able to get stuff done. Well, that's what I want to do. You know, I want to be able to solve problems. I want to be able to empower families and empower communities so we can have a much better access to the American dream, if you will. I think a lot of times the establishment folks are in it for the politics of it. You know, they're not really all that concerned with you and I, you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, they just want to make sure the donors, you know, and the super PACs and all that stuff keep us kind of away from that process. So I'm fighting to get in there. I want to get access because that access allows me a platform now to do what I think and you guys think needs to be done, which is helping the community. At the end of the day, you know, that's why your show continues on because it's people that are, sorry, my phone is trying to ring here. I gotta,
that's all right. It's a president.
Yeah, it's not the president.
Well,
not yet.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give you a thing that I think is really important. As you said, you know, just to clarify, you know, you've won and you haven't, you've run and you haven't won before, but that's point out to folks that where you were when we first met you, you were running the Denver Republican Party and you were running races there because as you
he
said,
wasn't running
well, but you were pushing
running in Denver.
Yeah. Right, in Denver. And you were saying we got to have candidates. We need a candidate. We can't let these races go unchallenged because right. At the very least, we force them, the Democrats, to spend money, to put some resources into the fight. Even right. If you think, and that's where you did so much good. You said, no, you know, Trump is not going to win Denver. But for every Republican I can get out to vote, Denver is huge, really. If you can get every Republican in Denver to vote, that's a significant number.
Yeah, and I hold the record for the most votes by any Republican in that area. But I'm telling you, even still today, I had a conversation with a party official just today, and they don't understand that all these races need to have a candidate, and they need to provide some resources to that candidate to mount a decent campaign, whether it's seven, whether it's two, whether it's one. All those races need to have a viable candidate or at least somebody that's breathing,
right?
And give that campaign some money, whether it's $100,000, $200,000, something. You know, I was telling Kim Buck the other day that the lady that ran against him last cycle, she had, I don't even know her name.
Right? Beckman. Beckman.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about the state park.
For the congressional district.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. For CD4, the Democrats ran a candidate against Ken Buck. I don't even know her name, but she had over $400,000. No, I'm sorry. She had $500,000 to run against Ken Buck, knowing that she would lose, but she still had those resources. And it wasn't because of her skills in raising the money.
It was
right?
A party.
Kasper, that money came
stay,
from.
Can you stay with us? We've got
Patrick Neville has had a quick legislative break. So can we put you on hold, so to speak, for a second and
stay with us.
Stay with us because I want to let folks know how to get hold of you. And let's go ahead and bring up Patrick Neville. Patrick Neville is the House Minority Leader here at the Colorado Legislature. This is the weekly Minority Report. We did it when we were at 710 KNUS. We're continuing it here. Hey, Patrick, I gather important stuff going on there. What's the latest?
Yeah, quite a bit. We're talking about possibly suspending the session.
Please cancel it.
Right. I mean, my point with this is, look, I do think that some of the health concerns are a little overblown. We do need to take this serious. But my point of view, everything we do down here should be in the public light, and the public should feel safe and comfortable coming down to testify on bills. And if they don't feel safe to come down and testify on bills, and if we can't get proper public input on bills, we shouldn't be doing the work unless it's absolutely constitutionally mandated or it's related to the situation we're actually facing now.
One of the things I think we've seen in this legislature is that the Democrats don't care about the constituents. So they're like, that's a silly argument. But what's going on? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, we're going to go into an executive committee meeting here probably in about 20 minutes. To decide on that, I think we're looking at probably two different resolutions that we'll be looking at. One is if we actually suspend the session and for how long, and the other one is, Chuck probably knows a whole lot more than I do about, that's why I've been so busy trying to spin myself up on this, is an interrogatory opinion from the Colorado Supreme Court on if we suspend, can we actually add time at the end of the session to extend it. So, I mean, the Colorado Supreme Court
probably have to go. I mean, I wouldn't bother to tell you the truth. The Colorado Supreme Court is just all Democrats giving a Democratic opinion. What you can do, which you're clearly allowed to do, is get over and then him just call a special session or special sessions in order to address the, he has to say which issues, but issues, coronavirus, and one or two other
budget,
things
like that.
So you're absolutely allowed to do that. I mean, I would think the suspension, well, you know, the Supreme Court, whatever the Supreme Court says sort of becomes the law. It doesn't seem there's any provision I've ever seen, because then the legislature would just go on forever as it has in the past.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I think, you know, special session, you know, given by POLIS for, you know, one or more issues. I'm not sure you can have it for more than one, but you could have two special sessions.
I guess this is what you're trying to hammer out, though, right?
But I mean, what,
right,
the reason
exactly
why you
this
want to go to the Supreme
Court. This is what I'm trying to spin myself up on and figure out how I'm going to vote on.
Yeah, well, you know, I promise you. Let me give you one guarantee. If you're clearly allowed to do it, they have already done it.
Yeah.
They don't think they can do it. And as tricky as they are, they think that it could void anything they do. That's what they're worried about.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Otherwise, they would go ahead and
just say, hey, look, this pursuant to paragraph 2, section 5 of so-and-so, we hereby suspend for 30 days, and then we'll just add it on to the end. They've already would have done it to you. They don't think they can do it, and therefore they want to pawn it off on the Democrats in the Supreme Court. But don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's totally completely true. I think
it is 100%. It is 100%.
Hang on, Chuck. Hang on. So, I think there is some divide in the Democrat caucus on this. There's even some divide in the Republican caucus on this, whether or not we should break. And I think there's some of the Democrats that probably would like to continue on with business as usual. They probably like the fact that public can't come down and testify on these bills.
Because
they can just ram them through, and they can ram them through, and basically there's going to be no media attention on some of these major bills whatsoever. Right. So that's the Democrats. There's other Republicans, too, that are voicing concerns to me, saying, well, we don't want to add to the panic out there by doing this ourselves. Wow. But again, the point I
Kevin
come back
Triola.
To is, the point I come back to is we should have full public input on any major decisions we're making. And actually, it is a bit of a shout-out to Majority Leader Garnett. As this week has gone through and the situation's gotten worse and worse, he has not moved some major bills forward, and he absolutely had the power to and the rules to do it and the ability to do it. Like bills like House Bill 1008 was actually scheduled for second reading today. And that's a bill that would have basically shut down a lot of health sharing services and things of that nature. He did not move that forward today. So this is just
right
a
now
wild
everybody's
time.
Sounds
this
like people
really
are playing
wild.
A little bit nice, that not nice, but responsible. Is that
hard to believe? But I guess it's always
we do trust
possible.
You. So
right,
okay.
And there, you know, and then the other big thing we have to get done before if and when.
Budget.
We do, well, budget obviously too, but one of the bills we're looking at really closely is House Bill 1359. We introduced that yesterday and actually passed it out of committee and seconds on yesterday. It's actually, I'm on the bill. The Senate's going to add some amendments to it now. They're actually debating it in committee right now. But that's a bill that's basically going to change how assemblies work. Because if you look at the governor's order today of no public gatherings of larger than 250 people, that basically makes the assemblies for all the large counties null and void. So we're trying to give this bill moves forward so that we can actually give the flexibility of the state party and county parties to change their bylaws, because under current state statute, you cannot change your bylaws in an even year.
Oh. So, it's one of those things. And like you said,
so anyone who's petitioned on would be good to go. But
right.
If you're like me...
Sure.
Like if you're like me, where I've always been totally, full force ahead on, I want to go through the caucus process and the assembly process, I couldn't even get on the ballot. And there's several people like that. So we actually had a bipartisan
bill. One of our
guests,
Casper Stockholm's like that for Congress.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay. So making sure we can still have an assembly process go forward is an important bill that we need to get through if and before we suspend session.
Let me, because I know you're busy, so a final question for you. What can folks, because everybody loves you out here, right?
Oh,
and so what can people do to help? What do you want people to keep their eye on? What do you need from us?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to go into executive session here. Executive committee is going to meet here in probably about 15 minutes. Tune in. If you go to ledge.colorado.gov, you can tune into that committee and see how that process goes. But I just think that we shouldn't be continuing to debate bills that are inconsequential if we can't get proper testimony on those bills. So I think what we're looking at doing is doing a resolution to temporarily suspend the legislature, and then we can reconvene at a later date to allow things like we have to get the budget done. That's constitutionally mandated. We have to get the School and Finance Act. That's constitutionally mandated. Right. And some of those bills are going to be really complex. I want folks to know, like, the budget's going to be really complex this year because I think we're going to take a major hit.
They don't have the extra money, thanks to you.
I think there's going to be a huge hit to the budget. So
right.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, we're
good
facing point. A lot of things down here, and it's definitely keeping me up at night and late nights. And if I'm not on a briefing with the White House, I'm on a briefing with the governor. If I'm not in a briefing with the governor, I'm working with the majority party here, and it's wild times right now.
All right. Hey, listen. Keep up the good work. You got our support, Patrick, and we truly greatly appreciate you taking a little bit of time here to talk to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. You know, and Patrick Neville, you can keep track. You know, I mentioned this a lot, but ColoradoCitizenPress.com, they cover all of the stuff that the House Minority Leader, the Senate Minority, all the stuff they're trying to do. Well, let's bring our guest Casper Stocken back up, because Casper, this is the kind of stuff that directly affects you. Were you able to hear when he was talking about one of the things they got to figure out what to do is how to deal with the assemblies, right?
I mean, yeah, because the governor made it 250, which is a little surprising since it's, you know, New York was 500, but was there a reason for the 250? Who knows?
Hard to say, right? Yeah.
Go ahead.
The petition dates have also been screwed up because normally they fall after the assembly process.
Yeah.
But this year they are before the assembly process. In fact, within another 5 days, I think, or 4 days or even less, the petition process is over. And if you don't have enough signatures, you can't get on through petition.
So you're screwed. In other words, if they don't do something, they can't turn around and say to you, oh, we're not going to do the assembly, so you got to use the petition. You can't. Right. It's physically impossible to do that.
It's physically impossible to do it, yeah.
Holy cow. Well, and it sets up a scenario where people can challenge either way, which you kind of hate to think about.
It costs money.
But exactly. How can people find out more about you? People want to help, and get volunteers.
Because you really are the grassroots thing, you know, North Jeffco Tea Party, unanimous for you.
Yes.
Down to Arapaho, 26-6, and three of them were
the Steve House people.
Yeah, so.
Exactly, yeah. So they can go to Casper4Colorado, is the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com. We definitely are looking for volunteers to the campaign. We're, of course, looking for donations. I had a really good time at caucus. I had a lot of folks that were supporting me at caucus. Most of the places I went to, you know, it wasn't an official number, but I really got a sense that over half of the room was excited about our candidacy. So when assembly happens, if it happens, or how it happens, we're going to do well at assembly, which means we get on the ballot. And then now the real fight begins, you know, and that's when, you know, it's going to get ugly, unfortunately, because, we've got myself where I don't have a lot of money, but I've got a lot of fight in me. So they're not going to be able to scare me away with, you know, say, well, you know, we're going to bring out this information or that information. You saw what happened when they tried to attack me on the finance stuff.
Right.
I was called into a law office and they said, this is really bad. You need to drop out of the race. And I was like,
kidding me. That was so, I just want to say, and you're right, it's going to get ugly. So for them to show up, and I don't know if Steve House, I don't know what role he did or didn't play, but here's a guy who's a spokesperson for Steve House, shows up at the Arapaho County Tea Party meeting. Now they have a great meeting, but it's, maybe 30 people, right? Something like that. And he gets up and just starts.
No, they were 40 plus people. Yeah.
Okay. But he just starts trashing you. So in other words,
he stands up and he's
shouting at you.
Well, but he has a pronounced Southern accent, Gary does. And so it was this almost thick drawl. attacking you, yeah. you know, kind of, and it did not go well. You know, nobody's sitting there going, "Boy, it's got a great point here." Everybody's going, "Shut up!"
It's like,
wow.
Well, he had the documents. He had the publicly the printed documents from the Secretary of State's website. It wasn't even like some kind of secret, you know, site
right.
that he got this information from. It's all public domain information. And he said, you know, what are your constituents? How are y'all constituents
going and it was
feel
just
about
like,
this stuff you do?
And, you know, I guess it'd be one thing if you were raising hundreds of thousands of dollars and living off right. it. But like you said, you're right. like, well, I have only raised this much money. So I promise you, yeah. everybody, I'm not getting rich.
They were mad because I shop at Walmart. They were mad because I wrote a book and I'm trying to raise money by writing a book and earning money from the book.
Yeah.
They were mad that I
like
drive for
like
Uber.
Nobody else
yeah,
does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no one would do that.
Hillary wouldn't do that. Or
No. All right. Well, listen, we'll let you go. Casper for Colorado. All right. Keep us posted and we'll stay in touch. Okay.
Sounds good, guys.
All right. Thank you to Casper right. Stockham there. We got a little bit of time left. 888-627-6008. You know, looking at the legislature, it reminds me, one of the things the city of Glendale, which, you know, we in the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle have ties to, they passed a law that I think was a good one. Isn't it? For every law they pass, they have to get rid of another one, right?
Yes.
So the legislature, I think maybe there's a certain amount of, okay, they have to pass a budget, particularly you look at what the Democrats are doing. If they didn't get it done, oh, well, too bad. Right? It's like, just too bad you don't get to come back and fiddle around because
you know, Patrick spends his time with Republicans. And you know, I've spent my life around Democrats, you know, born and brought up around or in New York City, Aspen, Boulder, Denver. And I promise you that the discussions are never, how can we help the Republicans?
How can we make it more fair for the people?
Yeah. You know,
make sure that everybody gets an equal hearing.
It's kind of like, okay, let's send out our Republican whisperer and tell him, oh, you know, what do you need? What do you want? Yeah, look, we can do that. We can do that. And in return, I think we ought to do this. So, okay. And then when you do this, they never do that. I mean, they never.
All of a sudden, abortion funding is going to be tied to coming back with the legislature.
What Stan Garnett is telling him is Alec Garnett, Stan's his father. Alec Garnett is doing is he's just playing the good cop, but there's a bad cop behind him. And I promise you, it's just like everything else they do, everything. And you think, no, it can't be everything. It's everything. They live and breathe politics. They live and breathe
politics. Well, and they live and breathe winning. At any cost. And
winning.
When you said that, as soon as you said that, Chuck, it was like, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
The Democrats, the only reason they're talking with Republicans about this is they're trying to fool the Republicans because you're absolutely right. If they felt fairly confident, even remotely, maybe not even, but even remotely confident that they could do this, they would try it.
Yes.
They must have a fairly sound basis for thinking they can't suspend it and come back.
Right.
Otherwise, like you said, they just would have done it.
They had a vote.
It's not like they've been saying to the Republicans, what do you guys think about this red flag bill, right? What do you guys think about the national popular
vote? Or it could be done statutorily. That bill would, and write the governor's text, it'd be signed.
Right.
No, they don't think they can do it. And therefore, if they do it, all the things they want to get in are potentially void. So they don't want to do that. So what better thing than a advisory.
So don't agree.
Yeah.
Don't agree. You're absolutely right. If you're the Republicans, and Patrick Neville and those guys have done a good job with this last year. Remember what they did is the Democrats are ramming stuff through. So the Republicans pulled out a little known or little used bill that says you have to read the whole bill. And the Democrats cried and whined. And the courts upheld it. So you do have to read the bill, right? They tried to have a machine read it, all that kind of stuff. So you're absolutely right. If the Democrats are trying to weasel something through here so they can get all of the bills, I think the Republicans should stand strong and say, nope. We should suspend it. Maybe we can come back. Maybe we can't. Maybe we'll cross that bridge and maybe we'll challenge. Maybe we can challenge all the bad laws.
I'm afraid that if, you know, how many in the legislature? 100? And if you have 100 in the legislature and you put 150 people in the gallery around the building, then that's an illegal meeting.
Right.
But you know, you sit with Republicans, you kind of go,
no, they're trying to hoodwink you. They're trying to hoodwink you.
No.
Because, and I'll go back to, I mean, I agree with Patrick. that you don't want to be holding hearings that people don't want to come to because they're worried about coronavirus. Or like you said, it makes it an illegal meeting. But the Democrats have shown, we had Jan Cook from Colorado Freedom Force on showing us pictures of the dozens and dozens and dozens of people who have shown up to testify against bills. And they're like, they don't care. They vote, you know, they vote entirely against what the people want. We've seen that over and over in the Democrat-controlled legislature. So when they're trying to tell us right now, oh, we just want to make it okay for the citizens to come out, that's not true. They don't care what the citizens think.
They hate them, or they hate the ones that come in and are against them. If you've ever been to a meeting, and you'll have, like, police chiefs come in, and they don't like those police chiefs. They are as rude as you can be. When I used to lobby down at the Capitol, I mean, I was incredible how rude the Democratic legislators would be to somebody who came to address them who wasn't for one of their bills, including, you know, your county commissioner. They didn't care. You're a Republican county commissioner.
We hate
and them. They think and breathe politics because that's how they make their money. I mean, that's how they're going to get Planned Parenthood the money, SEIU. That's how they're going to unionize all the workers.
They're not worried about Colorado citizens being able to come down
and
testify.
Stan Garnett can fool a lot. Keep calling Stan because I know Stan. I don't really know Alec. Alec Garnett is just the good cop. You know, when the good cop comes in, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I want to hit you with the chair.
That baseball bat hit your head. Oh, I was not even totally aiming for you.
I'm a reporter for that picture. But could you sign this confession anyway? Because then we can get that over with.
No, I think you're right.
And you know, it's a little bit how the establishment works. The Republican Party, you just saw him with Casper. They brought him into a big law office, you know.
And said, you better withdraw.
This is so serious. Criminal
the bright
charges.
Light shining on
his
face.
Yeah, we'll forget the criminal charges and everything else.
So here's my advice to Patrick. What do you think about that? The Republicans should do their research and then do their best to lure the Democrats into a trap, right? To say, oh, okay, we'll go ahead and suspend it. And then, boom, file a lawsuit and say, no, you can't pass this bill. No, you can't pass that bill.
I've never known a Democrat ever to say they hadn't already
they didn't know
all the research. Because they got all the attorneys in the world they want for free. And they got legislative
It's a state attorney general, right, who would probably weigh in on this is Phil
Weiser. Nobody would trust him.
Because he doesn't know anything about the law,
but the court, you know, it's all Democrats now. And we've gotten rid of all those pesky Republicans. And then that would make everything great. And they give advisory opinion, which they would then confirm if anybody ever brought it up.
Well, I mean, let's just look back just to kind of wrap things
question
up.
The question is, can they give an advisory, that kind of advisory opinion? That's a good question.
But if I were the Republicans, I'd be gearing up right now to challenge any bill that the Democrats introduced, because I think they're probably going to have to suspend it for at least a while, right? And I would be ready to challenge anything they pass, you know.
They'll just want the Republicans to lay down. They will not. Their agenda is their agenda, and they will get their agenda passed by hook or by crook.
Yeah, they don't care.
They do not care.
Just to bring it back, look at – what was that? The congresswoman who in the coronavirus hearing, so theoretically we're debating, you know, the health and, you know, welfare and financial security of our country. And she starts going on and on.
Minnesota.
Yeah. That it's like, oh, I'm sorry that it's racist somehow, you know?
Xenophobic.
Yeah. She's xenophobic. It's just crazy there. So, you know, I mean, and it's, you know, to try to say, that calling it the Wu flu, which has a little ring to it, right? It's the Ebola flu. It's a swine flu.
Yeah, she accused him of not going to Chinese restaurants,
which is like, what? You know, but again, you're right. Nancy Pelosi, this to me is just so outrageous, throwing abortion funding into
the it's not. Well, when they said that, an $8 million one, I went, that is just pork. It's Democratic pork laid on Democratic pork laid on Democratic pork. When they came out with the opioid thing, it's all to psychologists and psychiatrists, all which are Democratic donors. It's just nothing they do. You cannot trust Alec Garnett as far as you could throw him. He might be a nice guy, but they've already sat down going, Alec, you tell him this. Bobby, you go over here and do this, and then we'll do the back door, boom. And they've got everything all planned out because they live and breathe politics. They do.
But they live and breathe winning politics.
Yes.
And like you said, by hook or by crook. So if you want to keep track of this, one of the great places you can go is one of our sponsors, ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Yes, yeah.
Colorado Citizen, Colorado's conservative voice. They are following this all along.
And how can you go see the hearing?
Okay, if you want to listen to the hearing, Patrick should be starting here momentarily. You go to ledgecolorado.gov, is what he said. You and that's, I think, if you just
is it ledge dot or just ledge?
Ledge dot, yeah, ledge. This is my handwriting. Ledge.colorado.gov. And if you're confused, you can just go to the Colorado Legislative website, the legislature website, and there are links to all of that stuff. That's going to wrap it up for us.
That's it
on this Party Friday.
Hey, Party Friday. You can't go anywhere. You can't eat anything. You can't drink anything but party.
But watch our podcast. That's you right. Can catch the podcast at ChuckandJulie.com. Once again, too, we'd love to have you go to our YouTube channel. There are links to that. And go ahead and subscribe. What you do is go to chuckandjulie.com, and then up in the right-hand corner, you're going to see the little YouTube sign. Go there and subscribe. The more YouTube has a limit, we have to hit a limit before we can start doing more live streaming from mobile apps.
Thank you
apps
all the people who have done it.
Really, oh, yeah. It's been great. We really appreciate it. So everybody have a great weekend. Thank you to the folks at BBS Radio, and we'll see you Monday.